and welcome to Keep the Bastards Honest, the podcast of the Australian Democrats. I'm your host, Alana Mitchell, and on this episode, the unedifying spectacle of a prime ministerial captain's pick over the census. This episode has been published weeks later than I had intended, mostly because I rewrote it four times. And that was because stuff kept happening with this story, and I needed to keep up. I had originally intended for this episode to be an explainer on the recent decision about LGBTQIA plus representation in the census and the subsequent backlash, but the Daily Oz podcast beat me to it with an excellent deep dive into just what the census is, what the proposed questions on sexual orientation and gender identity were, and where things stood at the time of their recording. I've put a link in the show notes to their podcast, so if you're not across this particular debacle, please feel free to pause this, jump across to the Daily Oz podcast and get caught up, and then you can rejoin me here for an update. The update that the Daily Oz doesn't have, because they recorded their podcast at least a week before this happened, is that the Albanese government has announced that they are reinstating some of the proposed questions about sexual orientation and gender identity into the census. They went to enormous pains to stress that they were doing this because they had listened to what they would probably term feedback and the rest of the country would term backlash about their original decision. So join me, won't you, as we explore the anatomy of a culture war captain's pick and the entirely unnecessary injuries that it inflicted on a community, the Bureau of Statistics, and a first-term Labor government. This episode was written and recorded by me on Whadjuk country. I pay my respects to the traditional custodians of this land, the Noongar people, and their elders past and present. Sovereignty never ceded. Before we get started, I should point out that I don't identify as LGBTQIA+. I'm a cisgendered, heterosexual, middle-aged white woman. The only way I could be more representative of the privileged mainstream would be if I were a man. So I'm good. I'm already counted in the census. But here's the thing. I have family, friends, and co-workers who are LGBTQIA+. And as a vice president of the Australian Democrats, I also have a responsibility to our LGBTQIA+ members, of whom there are probably more than you would think. So while this isn't personal for me, since I'm not directly affected by it, it's personal for me because a lot of the people I care about are affected by it. And that's why this should be personal for you too. So what happened with the census that has me agitated enough to spend weeks writing a bonus explainer episode about it? Well, the Australian Bureau of Statistics had planned to announce that they were going to begin testing some new questions on sexual orientation, gender identity, and First Nations cultural identity to be included in the next census. The next census isn't due until 2026, which is why the ABS was sorting out the questions that are going to be asked now, because these things don't happen overnight. If you're thinking this sounds all very routine and administratively boring to everyone who is not a statistician or a demographer, then you would be correct, with apologies to statisticians and demographers. It took some time to find out exactly what these questions were, since the government declined to release them, but Laura Tingle at the ABC got hold of them. The questions the ABS wanted to test, with explanatory notes, are: number one, what is the person's gender? The notes are, gender refers to current gender, which may be different to sex recorded at birth, and may be different to gender recorded on legal documents. Respondents are asked to mark one of the following boxes: man, boy, woman, girl, non-binary, uses another term, prefer not to answer. Question number two, how does the person describe their sexual orientation? The options are straight, gay or lesbian, bisexual, uses another term, with a request to specify, don't know, prefer not to answer. And this is marked as a question for people aged 15 and over. Question number three, has the person been told they were born with a variation of sex characteristics? And the notes are Sometimes called intersex or differences of sex development, this question refers to innate reproductive development, genetics or hormones that do not fit the medical norms for female or male bodies. These specific characteristics may be noticed at birth or develop in puberty. The options are yes, no, don't know, prefer not to answer. And that's it. I'll leave it to you to decide if they are fine or confusing or otherwise divisive. Personally, I think they're perfectly straightforward and the government's apparent panic over them is wildly misplaced. We now know that the Prime Minister stepped in literally the day before the ABS was due to announce the inclusion of these questions in the census and asked the ABS not to go ahead with them. It's since been reported that this was a captain's call by Anthony Albanese. He overrode Dr. Andrew Leigh, who is the Assistant Minister for Competition, Charities, Treasury and Employment, and has responsibility for the ABS in government. Albanese was apparently very frustrated, venting in a cabinet meeting that day that the questions posed by the ABS were inappropriate, and it was a mess he was forced to step in and clean up. It's clear that this was a decision made solely by Albanese, which his cabinet then had to retrospectively approve. And what's telling is that not one member of the cabinet spoke up in protest about it. As you can imagine, the backlash was immediate and considerable, and to be honest, justified. Because the Morrison government had already pulled this trick. They quashed similar questions in the 2021 census, and the ABS copped so much flack over that, they issued a statement of regret about the questions not being included. The then Albanese opposition took the Morrison government to task over this and made including the LGBTQIA plus community in the 2026 census part of the policy platform they took to the 2022 election, which makes the now Albanese government abandoning that election promise and quashing those questions in the census all over again extremely awkward. And then, as the joke says, that's when the fight started. Because having backflipped on an election promise at the last minute, via a captain's call no less, they then proceeded to spend 2 weeks digging themselves into the deepest political hole this country has seen since Scott Morrison was shamed into returning from Hawaii when half the country was on fire, only to inform us that he doesn't hold a hose, mate. So why do it? Well, this is where it gets fun. Starters, having made his captain's call and walked away from an election promise, Anthony Albanese then also had to leave the country since he was scheduled to visit Tonga, which left senior members of the cabinet like Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles and Treasurer Jim Chalmers having to front the media to justify Albanese's decision. And the reason they both offered was that the government didn't want to cause a divisive debate by having these questions included in the census. Now, it is a truth universally acknowledged that opposition leader Peter Dutton hasn't met a culture war that he hasn't wanted to cuddle up to. And the government seemed to be strongly suggesting that having these questions in the census would trigger just that. And so they yanked them at the last minute in order to protect the LGBTQIA plus community from a bigoted, hate-filled debate. Which all sounds very noble until you realise that the LGBTQIA plus community was not asking to be protected from hatred and bigotry. That's a separate problem. And that representative bodies like Equality Australia had spent years campaigning to have the community included in the census, which the government had just backflipped on in the name of protecting the LGBTQIA plus community. So the first excuse offered was a bit paternalistic and condescending to a community they had just enraged. Excuse number two was offered by Murray Watt, who's the Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations. When asked if he agreed the LGBTQIA plus questions should not be included in the census, he said, and I quote, "Yeah, I support the decision of the government to do that. What we've said is that right now the priority for all Australians is focusing on cost of living relief. That's where all of our attention is being directed, and we think there's no reason to add additional questions to the next round of the census." Unquote. Apart from revealing how straitjacketed into the day's talking points he was, way to tell the whole country that you cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. That you can't let the government department, whose sole function it is to collect and analyse statistics, test and refine new questions for a census that won't be held for another 2 years, because you're dealing with cost of living relief right now. I mean, that one just boggles the mind. And then they kept digging. Social Services Minister Amanda Rishworth offered up their third explanation, telling Sky News that the questions were too complicated, which, again, is kind of the point of testing them 2 years out from the census, to ensure that they're not complicated and that people understand what they're answering so the Bureau can collect statistically accurate data. Then the Prime Minister weighed back in, presumably to back up Minister Rishworth, with explanation number four, saying that the draft questions were inappropriate. I've not been able to find an explanation of how or why they were inappropriate, just that that was what he said. Now, while the government was stumbling from one increasingly terrible explanation to another, the opposition was gearing up to give them the divisive, bigoted debate that they were seeking to avoid, until they realised that the government was doing far more damage to itself than they possibly could. So they just shut up and let the whole debacle unfold. And while that was happening, the backbenchers of both the government and the opposition decided that they'd had enough. In between the explanations that were being dreamed up, six government backbench MPs publicly broke ranks to argue that these questions should be included in the census. Which was pretty brave of them, considering the last MP who protested the government walking away from established policy positions was publicly rebuked, shunned, and then essentially mean-girled out of the party. The only difference is that Senator Payman staged her protest via a parliamentary vote and broke caucus solidarity, while these guys just fronted up to the media. But that's a topic for a different podcast episode. Opposition backbench MPs disarmed Peter Dutton by fronting the media and essentially saying, "Divisive debate? Never heard of her. We're totally fine with including LGBTQIA+ people in the census. What is there to debate? Why is the government being so silly and divisive about this? Not mindful. Not demure. And if you're too old or not terminally online enough to get that reference, it's okay, you don't need to. Your life will remain complete without this knowledge." By this stage, the Community Independents, the Greens, the Sex Discrimination Commissioner, and LGBTQIA+ advocacy groups like Equality Australia were all protesting against the removal of these questions from the census. So all of that triggered the first backdown, because of course there's more than one. Albanese arrives back in the country from his visit with Tonga and calls into ABC Melbourne to inform them that the government will now include one question in the census, which will ask about sexual orientation. So overnight, we've gone from a captain's call that excludes the entire LGBTQIA+ community from the census to what appears to be another captain's call, which suddenly brings the LGBA section of the community back into the census. The TQI section of the community remains excluded. And to make it even worse, he did this on Wear It Purple Day. Wear It Purple Day is a day in which the community is encouraged to wear purple to demonstrate their solidarity with young LGBTQIA+ people. Quoting from their website, the Wear It Purple campaign strives to foster supportive, safe, empowering, and inclusive environments for rainbow young people. I wish I was making this up. If you wrote this scenario for a political satire like Yes, Prime Minister or Utopia, you'd get laughed out of the writer's room because it's too ridiculous. As writer Annos Margot Ryan put it on the platform formerly known as Twitter, this Wear It Purple Day, the government is telling young trans people that the objective fact of their identity is divisive. Good one, Anthony. This will definitely lower those queer suicide rates. The government then spent another week copping backlash to that decision before, finally, Jim Chalmers went on Insiders and said this.
Yeah, we'll be adding a new topic which covers both sexual orientation and gender. That'll be the first time in the 2026 census. You know, we have listened to the community. We've worked very closely with the Australian Bureau of Statistics. I wanted to say how professional and diligent and sensitive the Chief Statistician, David Gruen, has been as we've worked through these issues. LGBTIQ plus Australians matter. They have been heard and they will count in the 2026 census.
Because it was only 10 days ago or so that you were saying there wouldn't be these questions, you were worried about it being weaponised. You've changed your view on that.
Well, we had good intentions here, David, and we've listened to the community and we've worked with the ABS and we said that we would find the best way through, and I believe that we have. You know, I believe that we've found here in introducing this new topic which covers both orientation and gender. We believe that in listening and in working with the ABS and the community and consulting in a really genuine way, we've found the best way forward.
Are you able to share those questions with us yet? What's the process from here?
Well, the government determines the topics and then the ABS determines the questions.
Right.
And so there'll be more that will be said, obviously. And my colleague, Andrew Lee, who's been working very hard on this, he'll be releasing a statement today. But the government's role here is the topics. The ABS does the questions. They will continue to work in a professional and diligent and sensitive way with the community to make sure that we get this right. I'm confident that we will.
So, having walked away from an election promise, the government has backflipped and then backflipped again, ending up in almost the same position they had started in before they walked away from that election promise. The LGBTQA section of the community has now been brought back into the census. The only bit that's missing is the I, the intersex section of the community, which was going to be covered by the third question that I read out to you. And it was this question, apparently, that triggered Albanese's intervention. He thought it was too long, too complex, it was confusing, and it was that question in particular that he thought might trigger the divisive debate he was seeking to avoid. And, okay, I can kind of understand why he might have been worried that the framing of that particular question could have set off an anti-trans culture war, especially considering the opposition's past conduct on this issue. However, being born intersex has nothing to do with your gender identity, and any gender-affirming healthcare you might have received in regard to it. And at the risk of speaking for a community I am not part of, I'm pretty sure the trans and intersex communities would have understood that question perfectly well. And the reason I believe that is that these questions have been used by the ABS in several other surveys conducted by the Bureau. They just haven't been included in the census yet. This whole situation is a perfect case study in why it's so important to listen to experts and to be guided by evidence when making decisions that impact on people's lives. Anthony Albanese decided that he knew better than the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and the whole thing blew up in his face. It's been reported on the day I rewrote this for the fourth time that the government was warned by the ABS that excluding these questions from the census would be detrimental to the quality of data they were collecting, since gender and sexual orientation would continue to be conflated in the survey. And the ABS also warned the government that not including these questions would lead to a strong negative reaction from the LGBTQIA+ community and supportive members of the public. The 2026 census might suffer from a reduced response rate and reduced quality of the data collected, as well as drawing criticisms of the ABS and the government. Which is what happened in 2021, when the exclusion of these questions made the LGBTQIA+ community feel excluded and invisible, which is why they were campaigning to be included in the 2026 census. So that's the politics of this whole mess. And it's an embarrassing indictment on the leaders of our country that not only did this happen, it played out the way it did. For a man who's been in Parliament for more than 20 years, this is just one of several recent situations in which Albanese has demonstrated less political acumen than your old mate down the pub after he's had three pints. And that's a bit alarming, because after the fiasco of the Morrison government, I think the one thing the electorate was looking for when it elected Albanese was competence. And over the last couple of months, the Albanese government has not been demonstrating a great deal of that. So politics aside, why does any of this matter? Why is it important to ask people about their gender and sexual orientation in a census? Well, there's a number of reasons. As we've already pointed out, not having these questions makes the community feel excluded and invisible. The census is a five-yearly snapshot of the makeup of the nation. Who we are, how we make a living, where we live, how we worship, where we came from, how old we are. It's incredibly important information, and it gets used in thousands of different ways. To deliberately exclude an entire section of the community from it isn't just bad politics, it's bad policy, it's bad governance. And the LGBTQIA+ community is not small. If you, like me, are not part of the community, the chances of you not knowing someone who is are so small as to be statistically irrelevant. If you don't have a queer child or sibling or relative, then you probably have queer friends, or at the very least, you have queer co-workers. Even if they're not out to you, the chances are really high that you know and you care about someone who is part of the LGBTQIA+ community. And like I said at the start of the episode, I'm already included in the census. I have been my entire life. But members of my family and a large number of my friends have not. And this is already a community that is marginalised and vulnerable and subjected to discrimination and othering. And that's before we get into opportunistic political culture wars. To be excluded from the national survey that maps out the very characteristics of the nation because of your gender identity or your sexual orientation is an outrage. It's been 7 years since we legalised marriage equality in this country, and yet the LGBTQIA+ community is still not equal. It's outrageous. But if that's not a good enough reason, we've known for decades how many Christians or how many people who identify as Jedi Knights live in Australia. We don't know how many queer people we have. We don't know where they live. We don't know what their levels of education are or what they do for a living or how old they are or how many of them identify as Christian or as Jedi Knights. And this was raised as a significant shortcoming and risk in our national data collection very recently by the Victorian coroner as part of their reporting on a spate of deaths involving trans women. The coroner flagged the absence of accurate data about trans people in Australia and called for this to be improved. And the most common reaction from people to this kerfuffle has been variations on, why are we arguing over such a trivial thing? Why is this important? What difference does someone's gender identity or sexual orientation make when the census is all about ensuring the allocation of resources and services across the country? Well, queer people use health, education, and other services, same as straight people do. In fact, there are a number of resources and services that are exclusive to queer people, and it would be really handy to know how many queer people there are and where they live, so we can allocate those resources and services to the best effect, particularly in rural and remote areas, where services and resources are already difficult to access, and queer people in those areas may feel particularly unsupported and vulnerable. And to be honest, I call bullshit on the census being exclusively about allocating resources and services. Because if it were, I would challenge why we need to collect data on people's religious affiliation, but not their gender identity or sexuality. The census is much, much more than simple resource allocation. And a Labor government in particular should be embarrassed and ashamed about seeking to exclude an already vulnerable group from being recorded as part of this nation's identity. The usual format of this podcast is that we're providing political commentary, and Steve and I strive to make sure that our listeners understand what is our personal opinion on an issue, and what is the official Democrats' policy position, should we have one? But on this particular episode, that's a bit blurry. And the reason why is that for the entirety of our 47-year existence, the Democrats have been staunch allies and supporters of the LGBTQIA+ community. Our very first policy platform, signed off by our national executive back in 1977, was on the decriminalisation of homosexuality. When Bob Hawke was elected as Prime Minister in 1983, we dragged him to the left on this issue. We were the first Australian political party to have a trans person represent us as a candidate. We initiated the first national inquiry into discrimination against LGBT people and introduced the first ever comprehensive bill dealing with discrimination against this group. We ensured that same-sex couples receive the same entitlements on superannuation as other couples, decades before same-sex marriage was legalised here. So with that history behind me, I'm confident in speaking on behalf of the party in roundly condemning the Albanese government for this unnecessary act of political cowardice and discrimination. And while I'm glad that they eventually caved to public pressure and restored two of the questions, we need the entirety of the LGBTQIA+ community counted in the census. We will continue to support the campaigns of groups like Equality Australia to ensure that this happens. I've provided links in the show notes to all of my sources for this episode, as well as a link to the Equality Australia Counters In petition that you can sign if you want to show your support for ensuring that all LGBTQIA+ people are properly counted in the census in 2026. Keep the Bastards Honest is brought to you by the Australian Democrats. This episode was edited and produced by me, Alana Mitchell. If you'd like to keep in touch, you can find us on Facebook, the platform formerly known as Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, Spoutable, YouTube, and TikTok by searching for Australian Democrats. And you can see what we stand for, what we value, and what our policy positions are at our website at democrats.org.au. Email us at info@democrats.org.au. Until next time, thanks for listening.